Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
All right, welcome back to Hour 2 here on a Super Sunday night. It really is a Super Sunday night this week as we have our participants for the big game that will take place in 2 weeks' time. Everybody knows it's going to be the Rams and the Patriots, and we'll talk about how the Patriots got there here in just a minute. But, Tom, we do have a big announcement to make. Every year for the big game, we always have a destination, do a live preview show. Over the years, we've done it from numerous places on the Strip, the Palms. So we're happy to announce that Saturday night, and Ari doesn't even know this yet, Saturday night, February the 2nd, Heatwave Sports will be live from the Beer Park over at the Paris Hotel and Casino. We've done it at that destination a few times, Tom, so we're going back to the Beer Park for the big preview of the big game.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped up, man. I love that location. Last couple times we've been there, it's a great time. You guys can swing by, you know, come and check it out, be a part of the broadcast. I love my favorite part of the Super Bowl show, which I've now been a part of for 8 years with you guys. My favorite part is going around to everybody and getting the picks. You know, everybody wants to be part of it. Other show hosts we have on, we'll call them Vegas celebrities, friends, colleagues, you know, the waitress comes in, whoever wants to give us a prediction. And I like to go take a look at the predictions the next day and go, wow, so-and-so got really close, or this one got really close. Oh, this one was way off, you know. It's always fun to kind of catch some predictions. And from a handicapper standpoint, you know, look, I'm still Tom Barton, sports.com, you know. From a handicapper standpoint, I love being in Vegas for days before time. You know, I usually get in a day or two before time, and I ask everybody, who is this going to win? I want to hear, you know, it's easy to talk to the, you know, the sports guys that are writing the tickets, and they tell you, 52% of the money coming. Okay, that is helpful sometimes, but I also like to do the research on my own. Ask everybody, who do you got? Who do you got? Who do you got? Who do you got? And by the time I'm done asking, I got hundreds of people, and then we go to the show, and I go, okay, now these are pure sports fans. Who do you guys got? And it really puts you in the mindset. So it'll be a fun time there. It'll be fun to check out who everyone. I assume that no matter how many people we have, Tim, everybody but me and you will probably be rooting for the Rams. And this year, listen, I got a lot of money on the Rams, so basically you might be alone on rooting for the Patriots.
I might be, and you're right. The best part of the live show is the round table, like you like to call it. And you're right. It's literally, if you follow this show over the past decade, we bring people back that have been a part of this show, and they always seem to find a way for this big one. So we'll be great to see Ron, Armando, Ballpark Frank, guys from the past that will come out and support the show, and you can too at the Beer Park over at the Paris Hotel and Casino on Saturday night, February 2nd. So, Ari, I already put the work order in. We just got to get you out on location with us now.
Wait, say that again?
I said we just got to get you out on location with us this time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I kind of like it here. I mean, because I've done both. So, you know, once you've seen the inside of a studio.
Come on, Ari. I saw you putting pictures up online on Twitter.
On location.
You saw that, huh?
I did.
When you said beer, it kind of threw me off a little. I got really scared.
Yeah, not that one, the other one, right?
Good.
but yeah, Tom, it's like a tradition. I'm glad we're going back to the Beer Park, because I think those have probably been the better of the shows. The Phone to the Palms was really good too, but I'm glad we're going back to the Beer Park. They always take care of us.
Yeah, I like the outside feel. I like the fact that you get, you know, the when you're on location and you're doing a radio show, and a lot of people don't like to do radio shows, you know, in remotes. I like them because you get the feel of the atmosphere, whatever it is. If it's, you know, that feel of the atmosphere is awesome, and the Beer Park is pretty great with it because you're outside. You know, we're literally outside. You get a little bit of the Strip noise. You get a little bit of the people hanging out, drinking, watching the game. So that's always a cool, fun situation.
Well, we know the Rams and the Pats. We know how the Rams got there, Tom. And today in Game 2, we could run a clip from many of our AFC title shows and somehow it always ends up that Tom Brady and the New England Patriots will be representing the AFC now for the third straight year in the Super Bowl. Four out of the last five, they're going to be in the Super Bowl. And eight straight after today was eight straight up. Eight straight times they played in the AFC title game. 37-31. They win it in overtime. And Brady, look, I put a tweet out on Twitter, tongue-in-cheek, just because we all know. But I said that there's no doubt this is the greatest dynasty ever. Win or lose, it's the greatest dynasty ever. And again, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick showed why that what I just said is the truth. You talk about just in length of time, the opportunity to get to play for a championship game. I'm not talking about winning them. We already know they have five of those. But just to play in this, get a chance to play in this, the amount of times that they have, it'll never be done again, I don't think.
I'm going to argue with you, though. Listen, we can get into the Brady and the Belichick being the greatest, but you put up the greatest dynasty ever. I think there's arguments to be had with that. And let me give you three examples. I want to see where you sit on this. Okay? Because everybody knows where I sit with Brady and Belichick, and we'll get into that. But as far as the greatest dynasty ever, I'm going to give you three dynasties that I think can at least be in the conversation. Okay? We're talking about the New York Yankees, 1927, 28, 32, 36, 37, 38, 39, 41, 43. They won the World Series. That's not getting there. That is winning the World Series from 1927 to 1943. You're talking about a 16-year span. They won the World Series eight of those 16 years, Tim. Nine of those 16 years they won the World Series. If you want to go to a shorter dynasty, let's just go from 36 on. 36, 37, 38, 39, 41, 43. They won World Series in 7 of 9 years. That is a dynasty to me that you can certainly argue better than this. Okay, I know different time. I get all that. Then I go to the Boston Celtics. Early 1960s, they won the NBA championship in 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 68, 69. They won the world championships in 9 out of 10 years. Celtics have to be up there. So you have the Yankees, you have the Celtics, then you have UCLA, which won championships 64, 65, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71. 72, 73, and 75. They won 10 championships in an 11-year span. Now, if you want to throw in, and I'll let you finish, you want to throw in modern era, free agency, people moving, you start to have an argument. But I think the greatest dynasties ever, the New York Yankees, Boston Celtics, and UCLA Bruins. In the NFL, I think clearly it is the New England Patriots.
I can't argue what you just said. My only argument was I didn't see any of it. That's the only thing I can argue. So maybe I should preface it like you said. You want to talk about the modern era. You want to throw in adjustments for, like you said, free agency, salary caps, talent in the league, more teams. I mean, yeah, we could build it up completely. How about in my time? There's nothing even close, really, when you look at it. And you're talking about a nine-time, since Kraft brought in Belichick, 9 times now they've won the AFC, right? They're going to the 9th Super Bowl. That's absolutely amazing when you talk about what we just talked about in hour one. How hard is it to get to the Super Bowl? It is very hard, right? They've won 5 of them. They have a chance for their 6th, right? Just the Belichick era, you're talking about a guy, all those games coached, he's hitting almost 69% winning percentage, Tom, in his lifetime. So when I look at how they were able to just sustain that, and what kills me is we know a guy, he's a Jets fan, right? All he does is talk garbage on the Patriots. We know Dolphin fans. All they want, they're basically hating on themselves because with the advent of the way that the league is structured, Tommy, this shouldn't happen the way it does. And they played in the 8 straight AFC title games. That should never happen.
and it does. And that's just, for me, it's a tribute to the guys in charge, the ownership down to every player. And the way that he changes his teams every year, we talk about the way that the personnel moves he makes, the risks he takes, the guys that they cut, and you're like, what the hell are they doing? And we're seeing how it works out from the beginning of the year. Everybody wants to jump on the Patriots about how it's over. And by the end of the season, as we saw today, Tom, the best defense in the NFL right now. And I know they got torched in the fourth quarter. I'm just saying that game plan worked to perfection. It gave them the opportunity to have a chance to win the game.
I mean, you want to talk about the virtues of Belichick. How about the fact that Tom Brady has now been to more Super Bowls than any other team? Tom Brady's been to more Super Bowls than any team. He's been to nine. He's going to nine. You know, we thought, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers were impressive. He's going to nine. But let's really talk about Belichick and what he does. I mean, they are a factory there. And here's the beautiful part about it. You name me. I'm going to go with the teams that we lived through, right? The quote-unquote mini dynasties that we lived through. The New York Yankees. Name me a year, I could name you 10 players on the team. I could probably name the whole starting lineup, but most people are going to name 5-10 players on the team. What about the Braves? They didn't win championships, but they had a mini dynasty in the National League. You could name 5-10 players on that team. What about the Cowboys? They won, you know, few championships in a short span. I don't think they were dynasty. Can you name 10 players on that team? Now do the same thing about the Patriots. Who's the big Patriots that have been there consistently over the years, over the 10 years? You know, they're not there. This year, look, James White, good player. James White isn't getting MVP votes. Sonny Michel, good player. Sonny Michel's not getting MVP votes. Edelman, good player. Any other team, the guy's a number two, right? He doesn't have anybody. Gronkowski, he's a shell of himself now. Offensive line's been a problem all year. Name me three defensive players on the Patriots. Name me three. You can't name them. Okay? That's the basic general idea. It's Brady, Belichick, and just give me the next guy up. And that's what they do. They are outmanned every year. How many times are the Patriots choosing in the top 10, Tim, to go get that premier pick, right? Well, that doesn't happen. How many times are the Patriots going, oh, man, wait a minute, big-time free agent out there? The Patriots are under the cap. Are they linked to rumors for Antonio Brown? Are they linked to rumors with Le'Veon Bell? No, because people go, they don't get high draft picks ever. They barely get a first-round draft pick, and they never spend big money on big free agents, ever. Their talent level is so far below anyone else's talent level. It's laughable where their talent level is. And even a guy like Brady, the argument that I always have with Aaron Rodgers, people go, oh, he's the best. It's not about pure talent. If it was about pure talent, you know, Michael Vick is purely talented, right? Pure talent. Tom Brady's not even that talented of a thrower of the football. Tom Brady is just the best quarterback of all time. And that's what they do. They don't go out there and just take these guys. Kyle Van Noy, I know you know him. Listen, he played the Mountain West, right? Kyle Van Noy is a guy I liked. I liked a lot when he was in college. Nobody thought he was going to be a dominant player. He comes in, Bill Belichick grabs him, goes, okay, you're my middle linebacker. Why? What does Kyle Van Noy do well? Reads the defense. Everybody else in the league, Tim, year after year, and today was the perfect example with Patrick Mahomes. Everyone else in the league evaluates talent based on physical attributes. Oh, this guy could throw the ball through a barn. This guy's the greatest one. They evaluate talent like that. Bill Belichick evaluates talent from the neck up. He wants smart, intelligent players that know their role. And that's the difference. I mean, that's why he's back here again. Not that his players are more talented, they're not more athletic, they're just smarter, and he puts them in a position to win. One of the things that I've said, and I want to get your take on overall on Belichick, because I don't think he gets nearly the credit, that I've always said about this is, when was the last time you saw a Patriots player, you know, fumbling the ball through the end zone because he was stretching out? No, it doesn't happen. I interviewed people that were in the Patriots camp, And Bill Belichick made an emphasis 3 years ago to tell his players, never stretch out. Never stretch for the first down. Because more times than not, you're going to lose the ball. Patriots players don't do that. They don't make those stupid mistakes. They don't make those errors. And if they do make those errors, they're gone. They're out of town the next day. That's Bill Belichick. It's a factory there. I get why people don't like him. I understand, Tom. People, and again, if you've never listened to the show, we're not Patriot fans. that's the biggest part about it. You want to come on here and clown us for certain things. You can never say Tim and Tom are Patriot marks because we're not. We don't like the Patriots. We respect what's been done, and I think that you get into a discussion point. If you want to talk about Belichick, you can't argue with what he's done, right? 69% winning percentage over his career in the NFL, or with the Patriots, excuse me. You want to talk about Brady, you can't argue the fact that he's going to 9 Super Bowls. And don't tell me, if he loses in 2 weeks, Tom, oh, well, he's lost 4. Well, he's won 5. So, I mean, the argument, that's ridiculous to even say that. If you want to talk about a quarterback, Jim Kelly, 0-3, okay, I get it, right? Win or lose, that's why I say win or lose next week, Tom, or 2 weeks, Tom, it doesn't matter. They're still who they are. They're still the best dynasty in the NFL ever. And really, if they come back next year, I don't see it changing. I really don't. That's the sad thing about it. If you're a Patriot hater, it just seems like it'll never end, Tom.
Tim, can we talk about Tom Brady for a moment? Let's take a minute here. Because I'm living and watching the game with my wife, who is a Patriots fan. She hates Brady. Okay? I mean, as a Dolphins fan, she hates Brady. She just outright hates him. Okay? I was having this conversation with her. And I made on Sports Garden, on my New York radio show, I made the argument last week before the Chargers game that Tom Brady is like Donald Trump. I don't want to get overly political, but let me explain. I'll do the short version of what I said on my show. The people that do not like Tom Brady are people that don't like him for a myriad of reasons. But you can't take away the accomplishments. And when you look at that, people look at Donald Trump and they don't like him because maybe what he said. They don't like him because, you know, he said this, he tweeted that, he looked this way, he didn't do that. But you go, but he's accomplishing a lot. You can't get past it. Listen, oh, the guy's a loser. Okay. Everyone told him he wasn't going to do this. He's a billionaire. He's got, you know, a model ex-wife. He's got a model wife. A model ex-wife. He's a billionaire. He's had a number one TV show. He's now the president, and he's the most accomplished president in the first 2 years. You might not like those accomplishments. That's what people don't like about Donald Trump. Tom Brady, good-looking model wife. You know, had his own special that did really well. Wins the Super Bowl every year. You might not like him, but you can't take away that the guy accomplishes things. Won the MVP at like 40 years old, right? I mean, this is what it is. So I gave Abby a different view of Tom Brady. It didn't work, but let me try it here. Why does America hate Tom Brady? Let me give you what Tom Brady is. Tom Brady is the greatest underdog in history. A guy that was too small, we know the story, didn't get drafted, fought his way on. Everybody loved him in that first Super Bowl. He generated the greatest underdog story of all time. Greatest underdog story, you know, in the modern era, we'll say. People love Joe Namath for doing it. Why don't they love Brady? Weird, right? Brady goes and defies the odds. He changes his diet. This is a kid that doesn't have as much talent as other players, right? I'm told that all the time. Doesn't have that much talent. Just has the will to win. Changes his diet. Does different things. Gives up his whole life to just be a football player. That's all he wants to do, is keep playing football. Into his 40s, changes his game around, changes his life around. To do what? To go out there and to play high, at a high level. Wins the MVP, gets back to the Super Bowl time and time and time again. At any moment, he could retire, and people will just leave him alone. He could go home with his beautiful wife and his great kids, but he just wants to play the game. Why are we not liking this guy? After the game today, what did he do? He was like
a jubilant 19-year-old kid. Oh, man, go back to the Super Bowl. This is awesome. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I want to thank my wife and my kids. Oh, this is a jubilant kid. And then there's the stories that you don't hear. The story about Tom Brady that you don't hear happened today. Okay? This won't be reported, Tim. Brady came up to a security guard after the game and was waiting outside the Chiefs' locker room. Asked if he could please speak personally with Patrick Mahomes. He walked inside. He wanted to console him and tell him what a great career he's going to have and what a great game it was. That's who Tom Brady is. Now, I'm not a Patriots guy. I'm not a Patriots fan at all. Okay? But it astonishes me. This man is so unbelievably hated. Hated. He never beat his wife. He never threw somebody down the stairs. Right? Never disrespected, you know, the flag, if you want to say that. Never did any. All he did was win, and people don't like him for winning. That's why people don't like him, Tim. And it's amazing to me that in this day and age, when we are sitting here watching the greatest athlete in our lifetime, the greatest athlete in anybody that's listening's lifetime, the greatest, we can't appreciate greatness because it's blinded by people because of hatred and jealousy. That's amazing to me.
That is sad. That's what America's become, really, when you said that this is the perfect example of who you should want to root for and support, but because of your own ego, you can't get out of the way of a guy who's... You'll never see a story like this again. And getting to one, Tom, and winning, and you could close the... You could run the credits on the movie, right? Close the book if you did it one time. Can do it for a sixth time. I'm talking about winning a sixth time here in 2 weeks, and people are going to continue to hate the guy. And I think you said it best when you opened up that last little segment with, he's excited. Like, he's ready, Tom. That's the thing. That's what the key to me. I watched all his post-game interviews. I saw him, a little Snapchat thing he had of him and Gronkowski in the background when they're getting on the bus to leave the stadium, which, by the way, he's gone into hostile territories a few times. You know, Tom, granted, they've done their job with Gillette Stadium when they had to, but what, they have 70-plus thousand at Arrowhead. He's done it at Heinz Field. He's gone into two places, and today for a 57th time. So even all our friends that want to say that Elway, Rodgers, Marino, they've never done it 57 times, right? And if they did, I'm not looking at stats, if they did, they've never done it in the games that Tom Brady's done it. And that's the thing. There's the chip on the shoulder that never will go away, and I think that's what motivates these guys, Tom.
Yeah, and then you have this. We just got a tweet out there from Fernando, who is a Brady hater. Right? And I love Fernando as a person, but when he talks about Brady and Kershaw, he doesn't talk intelligently. He said, the Patriots have 5 titles, but 2 are tainted with Spygate and Deflategate. Let me just touch on that. Number one, if you want to say Spygate, first of all, it has been told by many, many, many people that almost everybody did what the Patriots were doing at Spygate. But I concede that. That was wrong. That wasn't Tom Brady. That was Belichick. Bill Belichick. That happened in the middle of the season. I'm not sure why that would negate a Super Bowl. He didn't Spygate on the Super Bowl, didn't spy during the playoffs. It was during a regular season game against the New York Jets. So that argument, okay, I'll give you a half credit for that. As far as Deflategate goes, that is almost as silly as the Russian hoax, going back to my Trump situation. We now know that Russia and Trump is a hoax. It is completely wrong. It's laughable that anybody would even bring it up anymore. We know that now. I mean, that's public knowledge. What we know about Deflategate, Tom Brady was never charged with anything. Tom Brady didn't have any wrongdoing. They essentially accused him of lying for something, not for the balls. This is also after someone like Aaron Rodgers admitted that he cheats all the time. Oh, I inflate balls all the time. Every quarterback, they interviewed 25 quarterbacks. Every one of them said, oh, yeah, I like the ball. Less, I've asked them to take it out, or I've inflated it more. So even with that, Fernando is doing well. You know that he's tainted. Oh, Tom Brady's tainted. People don't like him because he's tainted. First of all, people didn't like him before Spygate and Deflategate. Let's get real.
number one. Number two, the fact that you would bring up Deflategate and not understand the reality behind Deflategate. No one said Tom Brady deflated the footballs. No one said Tom Brady. And the evidence proved he didn't tell him to deflate the footballs. What you're saying is that you don't like Tom Brady because he stuck up for his equipment manager and said, I won't throw this guy under the bus. I won't go along with this ridiculousness because this guy needs his job. So Tom Brady stuck up for somebody on a lower level. And somebody is a bad guy. Same thing where you know, you turn around in a society where these things happen and people hear the term Deflategate. Oh, let's jump on Deflategate. But they don't know the rules. They don't know the reality. They don't know what happened with that. So, Tim, you know, again, it's a flimsy attempt to poke holes in somebody like this. It's a flimsy attempt. And these are the same people, by the way, that poke holes in Tom Brady that will overlook all of Michael Jordan's shortcomings, right? Mm-hmm. You know, do we mention that Michael Jordan, oh, by the way, was accused of throwing games for gambling debt throughout his career? Those rumors were out there, guys. Those are real. Okay? Those are real rumors. Nobody mentions that about Jordan, oddly. Oddly enough, nobody mentions that about Jordan. So every athlete's going to have these small sticking points. I just think it's a shame that we're watching the greatest that has ever linked them up. That is an inarguable situation now. The greatest that's ever been able to play football and us have the privilege, the hate takes over. In 30 years, let me tell you guys that have kids 20 years from now, 30 years from now, you're going to sit down with your kids, guess who they're going to ask you about? Brady. That's who they're going to ask you about. Not Rodgers, not Breeze. They're going to ask you about Brady. How is it like to watch the greatest that ever did it, Dad? And you're going to be sitting there going, I was too consumed with hate. I can't give you a real answer on that.
Well said, Tom Barton, well said. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk about how the Patriots moved on into the next round of the NFL playoffs, the big game. And we'll get Tom's thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs' future with Pat Mahomes at quarterback. Is it halfway through a Sunday night? It's a super Sunday night. It's Heat Wave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
Rams, Patriots will battle for the NFL title in 2 weeks' time. And we'll do our preview show from the Beer Park outside Paris Hotel and Casino, right on the Las Vegas Strip, Saturday night, February the 2nd, from 10 to midnight. Please, if you can, come down and join us. Always a great show. Tommy, myself, and anybody you could think of that's been associated with the show will more than likely make a trip down and support us for that night. We want you to support us as well. Tom, before we break the game down, you had some more Brady talk to bring on.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up because I'm going back and forth with some listeners. And it's not just one, but mainly one listener who is continuing to bring up the Spygate and the Deflategate. So I can't believe we're still doing this like a decade later, but let me set the record straight, and just explain to people, because this is what happens, Tim. First of all, I don't like to talk about sports and politics. I think sports shows that talk about politics are doing that because they don't know how to talk about sports enough. They're not smart enough about sports. But you could dabble in here and there. This week we had, you know, the BuzzFeed thing came out, and it was proven wrong. But inevitably, down the road, 10 years from now, somebody's going to say that. Why? Because it was out. You know, there are still people going out there saying, well, Donald Trump said he would, you know, aggressively, you know, molest a woman. Actually, if you listen to the clip, he actually said, if they let you. You know, they let you. So it's not, okay? So there are forms that take. So let's go to, and I only mention politics because, look, we're right there where you could see how things spiral out of control. In sports, it's been going on forever, where the real story gets buried. So let's talk just real fast about Spygate and Deflategate. Spygate was because of one taped practice where the New England Patriots taped the New York Jets coaches at a practice. Well, I'm not saying it was right. But that's what it was. It was a regular season meaningless game. The argument comes up, well, you know, the Patriots taped the Rams right before the Super Bowl. Right? That's the big argument. Now we have the Rams, and we're going to start hearing it again. Guys, that was a story that was reported by the Boston Herald, who cited an unnamed source. That story was recanted by the Boston Herald. They said, we made a mistake. It's an unnamed source. Not reputable. It didn't happen. Now, somehow or another, people will still stick with Spygate. Oh, wait. To win his first Super Bowl in Belichick. It had nothing to do with it. It was one regular season game during the year against the Jets. I'm not saying it was right to do, but it had nothing to do with the Super Bowl. So when a newspaper puts out a headline, Tim, and they say, Brady is on the Super Bowl, and then 2 days later they have a tiny little article, oh, we totally lied, right? What do people remember? They remember the headline. Deflategate, the same thing. The article comes up, well, you know, Brady finally accepted the suspension because the courts told him that. Dude. He knew what was on his phone. Actually, no. It never went to court. It went to court. Had nothing to do with Tom Brady. They went to court, and the whole process went to court to find out, does the NFL have the right to suspend their players at will? And the courts ruled, yes, they can suspend you for whatever reason they want to. Had nothing to do with Brady. The deflating of the balls never came up in the testimony. Brady never came up in the testimony. It had nothing to do with it. It was, can the NFL just willy-nilly kind of suspend their players? And the court said, yeah, listen, they run the league. They're allowed to. It had nothing to do with deflating the footballs. So again, when a headline sits there and it says, in court, Tom Brady loses, and then he's suspended, people go, oh my God, Tom Brady lost. He must have deflated the football. And then you read the fine print. Most people just look at the headline. You read the fine print, and it says, the NFL is allowed to suspend whoever they want for any reason, even without evidence. And that was in the court document. So, again, is there controversy surrounding Belichick and Brady? Yes. But let's make sure that if you don't like Tom Brady, and you're sitting back and you're going to shove down my throat, Spygate and Deflategate, and you're going to sit back and you're going to argue that those are the reasons you do not like them, make it real. Say, I don't like Tom Brady because I believe he deflated the footballs. Okay. Listen, it's a wrong belief, but okay. I don't like Tom Brady because he's got a really good-looking wife and he wins too well. At least you're honest. I appreciate that. Don't tell me you don't like Tom Brady because he is part of Deflategate and part of Spygate, which happened before the Super Bowl, because both of those stories are fake. They're wrong. They're inaccurate. So you can hate Tom Brady all you want. Make sure you hate him for the real reasons. And going back to the political tie-in, just so I could tie it with a knot, I say the same thing. Listen, you want to not like our president or our former president or a congressman or whatever, don't like him. Who cares, okay? Don't like him for what he is. But don't not like him for a story that was made up, right? That was a story that is wrong, a story that is fake. Don't like somebody for real things, not for fake things.
What if I just said I don't like Tom Brady because he's a winner, Tom? He's a winner.
That's what it, you know, basically, after having this argument with my wife, that's the conclusion we came to. She goes, look, I'm just sick of him always there. And I said, okay, well, that, I can't argue with you. That is the reality. That is why you hate him. Is all this other stuff is all... It's all noise, right? You don't like him because he's a winner. You don't like Donald Trump because you're a Democrat. Okay, that's fine. You don't like his policies. You don't like the fact that there's nobody new. You like new teams. That's all fine. But when people start coming out with, you know, inaccuracies, that's a problem. And I think, Tim, people don't like Tom Brady because he's a winner, because they want something new. The NFL has designed its intention is to have parity. And the NFL is up against it with the Patriots, who go, yeah, parity? Yeah, we're just going to go through the AFC every year. 13 times. 13 times they've been to the championship game, Tim. You know, the AFC championship game. It is New England's rite of passage to to be in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. Much as I'm not a Patriot fan, you can't disrespect what they've done. And you can throw all the scandals you want to throw in there. Tuck rule this. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is they're playing for the title again, Tom, and they did it today in a game.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to lead into this game if you had another comment on
Let me just have one last comment about this, because you mentioned the Tuck rule. And this is when I hear the whining, complaining going on even more. With all of a sudden everyone going, wait a minute, overtime rules aren't fair. If Pat Mahomes had the ball first, they'd be in the Super Bowl. Maybe, okay, but that didn't happen, right? Tom Brady got the ball and did what he had to do. Now all of a sudden you want to change overtime rules. I am okay with that. I am. I really am. I've never necessarily liked these overtime rules. I think that the college rules are fantastic. I get it, okay? But, Tim, to now all of a sudden say, well, now we want to change the rules because Pat Mahomes didn't get a chance to touch the ball, and he would have been there. Isn't that sour grapes, man? Like, you can't take away from the legacy of what just happened in Tom Brady because of that. He did what he had to do.
That's actually bad journalism as far as I'm concerned, that you would go out there, and I saw it numerous times, you're right, I saw it numerous times on Twitter, the league MVP is not even going to get a chance to win the game. He had a chance to win the game. He had a chance in regulation to win the game. And he did his job and got him in the situation to tie the game to put it in overtime. But you're right. The overtime rule has been the overtime rule forever. That's not the Patriots' fault, right? That's not Pat Mahomes' fault that he didn't get a chance. Is it? Yeah, well, I mean, you want to start breaking it down, it is his fault. But I saw that and I was just like, wow, just to have a tweet out there, or if you want to write a story about that, you're taking a lazy route there, because it's an argument that there's nothing you can do about it. That's the rule. Okay, you want to write an article about changing the rule? That's fine, but that didn't hinder Kansas City from winning this game. Tom Brady beat them.
Yeah, 100%. And before we get off the game, we get a tweet out here. Do we think if Brady retires, or does he wait for Belichick to retire? I could tell you guys, listen, number one, I think this is Gronkowski's last time. I think he goes out. I think he actually probably has a pretty good Super Bowl, because it is kind of at the end. I don't think we see Gronkowski anymore. I think we see Brady. And I interviewed Ian O'Connor, who wrote the book just recently about the Brady dynasty. And he said to me, Tom, I think Brady wants 10. I think he said it before this year. I think Brady wants 10. I think that's the number that he's going for. I don't think it has anything to do with Belichick and Brady. And if he thinks, that he's waiting for Belichick to retire, that's not happening. Belichick is not going. According to Ian O'Connor, who spent a lot of time with Bill Belichick, he doesn't see Belichick or Brady going anywhere anytime soon. And I asked him, joking around, I said, in 5 years, are we still talking about Brady and Belichick? He goes, yeah, I'd say 4 or 5.
Well, you remember the preview show, Tom. That was the way I ended it. I said, Patriots win, and the two go out on a horse together, and it's the end of a legacy. But I think you're right that the way this season's gone, the way that I've seen Brady in interviews throughout the back half of the season, at one point, what were they, 9-5? I think they just lost a couple in a row, and they like kicked it up a little bit into the next drive, and then even through this playoffs, he doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon. He looks like he can still go out, and as long as he can play, he probably shouldn't, right?
I do
think that when it does happen, there will be a massive rebuild in New England, but I don't see that happening in the next couple of years.
You know, it's funny because every year we start to say, uh-oh, Belichick's planning for Brady to leave. He got Garoppolo. Here it goes. Well, he got Brissett. Here it goes. Now he's going to the running game, Tim. He spent a first-round pick on Sonny Michel. Here it goes. And I don't see it like that. I think Belichick is in a position where he's going, okay, listen, I love Brady. Obviously, I win with him, but I'm going to build my team as though if Brady goes down, I can still win. And I think Brady is in a position where he goes, listen, if I can keep waking up and feeling good, not even playing well, feeling good, why would I not continue to do it?
When I was doing the prep work for the show, Tom, I had a
piece of notebook paper, and I had the line down, and I have Chiefs, and I have Pats, and I have questions that I wanted to ask you pertaining to who would win or lose. So this question was for the Patriots if they had lost, but since we were talking about it, now I'm going to throw it to you instead of in 2 weeks if they do lose, or instead of during the offseason before the draft. Is this the year that you see a quarterback in this draft class that they could mold into being the next Garoppolo?
This is one of the worst draft classes that I've seen for quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. They may grab him, but it would be a third rounder, and it would be a project. You know, the guy that jumps out that would be interesting is if Kyler Murray drops to the. But I still believe that he's going to go play baseball. So I talked to Tony Pauline, who does a great draft analysis, right? And he's saying he thinks that there's one, maybe two quarterbacks taken in the first round. Then you get into guys like Drew Lock and Rippon from Boise. Wouldn't Rippon be kind of a consummate guy? You know, underrated, five-year starter, smart guy. But he's a backup. You know, I don't think so. I think when New England makes that move, you're going to see people's heads explode that hate the Patriots. Because when they make that quarterback move, this is not going to be Bill Belichick developing a guy. I think when they make the move to him, it's going to be big, it's going to be splashy, and the rest of the league is going to hate. And what I mean by that is maybe in 2 years from now, the Patriots gather draft picks and a bunch up. They make one of these ridiculous, 3 or 4 for 1 offers, and they go get a Trevor Lawrence. You know, that's the kind of move I think they're going to make, is that big splash, number one overall pick to replace Brady, or something just absolutely crazy, ridiculous, where you go, oh my God, how did they just pull that off? I don't think they're transitioning from Tom Brady to a guy that they take in the third or the fourth round and hope they hit magic again.
Or maybe, like you said, you go that route and you're waiting on that prize college athlete coming out. But maybe in 2 years' time, Russell Wilson's an unrestricted free agent, Tom, somebody like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, something that where you go, how did they do? I think we're going to be dumbfounded. I think we're going to be in jaw slacking, just going, oh, my God, Brady's gone. But look at who they have. You know, the old, oh, whoa, they did what? That's the kind of situation that I could certainly see coming up. You know, if put it this way, if Tom Brady retired after this Super Bowl, if he stood up at the podium in 2 weeks, wins the Super Bowl and says, you know what, I'm done, I'm kind of finished, I think Nick Foles is a starting quarterback for New England. You know, that's the kind of situation that I'm talking about. I think it's going to be a transition that is number one quarterback filling in for Tom Brady. I do not believe we're getting it, you know, a later round pick. And you know that the Saints, the Pats never have a first round pick. You're not getting a quarterback you feel is going to be, you know, your guy at the back of the first round. You're not getting that. So it's not going to happen. These things, you know, don't happen over and over again. And you could develop a quarterback, but I think Bill Belichick sees this league is going to more of a throwing, you know, quarterback sort of league. If I'm the Patriots, here's what I would do, Tim. If I'm the Patriots, I draft Kyler Murray. And I let him go try baseball. Draft him in the third round. You go ahead, go play baseball, kid. We'll talk to you when Brady retires. Because now you have their rights, right? Now you own his rights. Talk to him in 2 years, 3 years, Brady retires. And you go, all right, Murray, you want to come back? We remember what you could do. You want to come back? You want to come and play for us? That's the kind of move that Belichick makes, where he's playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers.
You know, I thought today Josh McDaniels' game plan was off the charts. I thought that they moved the ball with the rushing. You know, they exploited the holes in the Kansas City defense that we knew were there. But I thought pretty much, you know, we're talking, if we're grading out game plans, I gave him an A. Including the overtime drive. You know, he had long, sustained drives. He mixed it up, and basically he picked them apart. And I look at Josh McDaniels, Tommy, and, you know, it looks like Flores is going to leave, right? New England going to Miami, that looks like probably going to happen.
and you see year after year coaches leave. And McDaniels this year, it just, you know, the jobs aren't there for him. Is that A, because he made it known that he's not going anywhere? And if that's the case, and he's the coach in waiting, why is he going to wait for something that's, you know, you have no right now sustainable future at looking at? Or is it B, that it just it didn't work out for him so long that the other owners are sour on him as a head guy? You know, he's not the hot name anymore, but yet he continues to produce the last couple years and put them in a situation to win the Super Bowl.
I think McDaniels is playing it safe. I do. I think McDaniels is in a position in his mind where he's saying, okay, I have two avenues here, really three. I have avenue one is I'll wait out Belichick. I think he's probably going to retire in the next year or two, and I get to seamlessly transition. That's option one. Option two, I'm going to wait for a job where, as an assistant, I could walk in and get free reign. And he wants to have total control as an assistant. You know, walking in from the assistant to a head coach. And then I think option three, he wants to walk into a situation where he will be an automatic winner. I think he is soured from when he left the first time, and he's in a position where he didn't believe that Andrew Luck was fully healthy and Indianapolis was, you know, a question mark. He's looking around the league and he's going, okay, well, you know what? That guy Pete Carroll's 71, right? I could walk into Seattle with Russell Wilson in a couple of years. Maybe that's a situation, you know, that I'm eyeing down the road. Look at the other good organizations. You know, don't give me Green Bay with Rodgers. Rodgers is older. Now look at the other good organizations that you could walk into, just a plush, beautiful kind of job. Cleveland would have been a great situation with a great, you know, with that young quarterback, but it's Cleveland. The Jets, great situation with that quarterback, but it's the Jets, right? You don't want that. What about Houston, Tim? The Houston Texans, if they decided to get rid of Bill O'Brien, that's an attractive job. You know, there are attractive jobs around the league. There are attractive jobs that would certainly open up and you know, could fill a lot of needs. But they're far and few between. And I do understand, look, this isn't McDaniels' first try. If he goes to a team and he fails as a head coach, he'll never get another chance. And I think he knows that. And he knows, I've got to go in and I've got to win wherever I land. I've got to win, and I got to win right away because I'm not getting another chance. And there are not that many attractive coaches out there, for obvious reasons, that have a winning situation. You know, I look at this, look around the league, look at the possible coaching changes, the possible, you know, positions that he could walk away from, walk into, and who's going to be leaving. It's not good. There's not a lot of good stuff going on, Tim. There's not a lot of good situations where you could seamlessly transition. I think he wants a young quarterback, he wants a stable organization, and he wants a winnable organization. And that's a tough, tough thing to walk into.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think whether people are, you know, I think after a year now, the Indianapolis situation, I saw a headline, it was Brian Flores won't pull a Josh McDaniels on the Dolphins, right? You know, laugh about it because basically he agreed and then he said, nah, I'm not coming. But if he chose to stay, Tom, and not, you know, the way that the future of the Patriots is built out, I know Kraft is a huge fan of Josh McDaniels. He was a big part of him coming back to New England to begin with. He would get a run there to build it the way he wanted to build it. If that's what he wanted to do, I think you're right. If a more attractive job with a team that's ready to win now pops up, then maybe that's an avenue he goes. But if he stays and waits it out, you know, he's going to get his opportunity to have a legacy there, because if they are rebuilt, he's going to rebuild it the way he wants. But if in the next couple of years you start to see the pieces, and defensively I have seen this, starting to build pieces, puzzle pieces, building blocks of a younger defense, it's you know, it may not be the year after, but he's going to be put in a situation, if he gets a quarterback, that they'll be able to win again right away.
And think about this. We're talking about the playoffs. Think about the successful coaches that he compares himself to, the best offensive minds. Matt Nagy, right? What is Matt Nagy walking? Oh, we're going to have a top three pick in the draft. You're going to get a quarterback. Your new franchise quarterback is going to be brand new. The probably the number one quarterback in this draft class. We're going to give you that. then we're going to go out there and we're going to spend. And ownership told them, we're going to spend like maniacs. And they did. They went crazy on the free agency market. Look at Sean McVay. What did Sean McVay do? We're going to get you a new stadium. We're going to get you new facilities. We're going to roll out the red carpet. And, oh, by the way, you get the number one overall pick in the draft. Oh, and by the way, you also get Todd Gurley, number one pick that Todd Gurley is. Oh, by the way, you also get Aaron Donald, probably the best defensive player in the league. That's what Sean McVay walked into. So Josh McDaniels is sitting back and going, wait a minute. You know, guys that are not as good as me, in his mind, not my mind, guys that are not as good as me are walking into positions where they have their quarterbacks for the next 15 years. They are elite, talented quarterbacks. They have elite, talented teams in winnable divisions with nothing but an arrow pointing up. Why would I take anything but that? Why would I take any job out there except for these type of jobs?
Yeah. Tom,
you go through the league. You know, find me a spot. I think Seattle and Pete Carroll is kind of it. You know, find me the other spot. Find me the other team that you think you can win with, you know, with a young quarterback that's locked up. It's just not out there, Tim.
No doubt about that. We're going to come back for hour three, recap the last of this game. We'll talk about the Chiefs for a little bit. And we'll talk about our first thoughts on the big game, Patriots-Rams. We'll take a look at the point spread as well. Here on a Sunday night, it's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.